In the sermonette this morning, your time, I wanted to discuss the fact that certain words, and we'll focus on one word, have an incredibly important meaning as used in the Bible. We don't always capture that meaning when we read the Bible. In fact, very often, the meaning is lost because there are problems with the translations that we have. To really understand every word of Scripture, which should be our objective, it requires a lot of time in studying some of the original root words. Here's three different problems that we have in relationship to translation. First of all, just an incorrect choice of word based on the bias of the translator. And that happens in quite a few instances because they already know what it should be saying, and they don't attempt to translate the word faithfully. So that's one problem. Second problem is it might have been translated in a way that was understood well at one point, but the meaning of the word may have changed. Hell is a good example of that. In 16th century English, the word hell just meant the earth. And so farmers planted their potatoes in hell or in the earth. But you see, that word has changed. And so now we think of hell as being an ever-burning place of punishment whenever we see it in the Bible. So that's the second problem. First problem being incorrect choice of words in the first place. Second problem being words change in meaning over some period of time. And the third problem, which is more relevant for the word that I'm going to talk about today, is there is really no good equivalent in the English language for the original Hebrew word. Examples of words that are very important that we might think about are names. Maybe names could be the most important category of words, and we understand an awful lot about God from the word Elohim. We understand an awful lot by the name Abraham, Sarah, and the name Jesus Christ. The word Viagra, which was translated by the Septuagint into the word Leviticus, is a very important word. We talked about the importance of the word Revelation or Apocalyptus in recent sermons. There is, however, for the purpose of this sermonette, one particular five-letter word, which may be, apart from names may be the most important, but after you get past some of the most important names, this might be the most important word in the Bible. And so it's very important and relevant to understand the meaning of this word. The word first appears in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. God said, here in this verse, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons." And that's the word we're going to focus on. The word, the original word in the Hebrew that has been translated here in Genesis 1 and chapter 14 as the word seasons, and for days and years. It's talking about, this is in the fourth day of creation, it's the pivotal day, we would say, of creation. It's talking about how God framed the heavens to define certain things. Now, it says, let there be lights, and of course, there were already lights, but these lights he's talking about here are for specific, special purposes. They are being rearranged and reset in such a way as to define the things that are mentioned here in the rest of this verse. They are to divide, it says, the day from the night. Well, if we didn't have the sun sitting in the proximity that it is to the earth, and we didn't have the earth rotating in the way that it is, then we would not have day and night defined. And so the sun defines day from night. Then it says, let them be for signs. I'll just tell you here, the word that is translated into the word signs is oath, O-T-H. And it's a very important word. I'm not going to spend any time on that word, but on the next word, for seasons. These lights in the heaven, the sun and the moon, are set there to define, it says here, the seasons. In the original language, it says for moed. Five-letter word, M-O-W-E-D. Five-letter word, moed. And that is the word I submit to you could well be the most important non-name word in the whole Bible, and one which we must pay very close attention to. I can't emphasize too much the importance of that word. Very little explanation is made of it here, but we will find that word many times as we go through the Old Testament. Just translated here as the word seasons. Well, we sort of know what we think seasons are. We have spring, summer, fall, winter. Four time periods of the year. That is not what is being talked about here. So this translation has failed to capture, and here we have no equivalent word really, has failed to capture the importance of this word. I want to emphasize to you how important this word is. Here's some information about it. It occurs 240 times. The word moed, M-O-W-E-D, occurs 240 times in the Old Testament in 210 different verses. Of course, then there's a context surrounding those verses, which oftentimes expands quite a lot on the use of that one word. What I want to do in this sermonette, because it is becoming very relevant as we approach a particular coming time of the year, I want to inform you about 3 points of information concerning the Hebrew word moed. First point, this word tells us that there is an appointment. So you wouldn't get that from the word season at all. This word means there is an appointment. You can look in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, or you can look in Vine's expository of Hebrew words. And this word is explained in both places as meaning there is an appointment. There is an agreement between two parties to meet at a specific time and at a specific place. So it captures the meaning of having an appointment. Vines explains the meaning of an appointment as relating to a time in which you would meet the doctor at his office. Now, doctor, dentist, a person with whom you have a professional appointment, it is set for a particular time. You and the doctor have agreed that you will meet usually at his office, but at a specific place at a certain time. So if I'm going to get my teeth repaired, and I make an appointment in Brian's office for Thursday, I am expected to be there on Thursday at the time we agreed upon. If it's 2 o'clock, I had better be there 2 o'clock on Thursday to keep that appointment. I cannot whimsically decide I will come at some other time. Now you might think of that in relationship to the fourth commandment. See, God has appointed a particular time in which certain occasions are to be kept. We'll be looking at more of that during the sermon. Those are specific times that God has ordained for this appointment to be kept. We don't get to negotiate this appointment. If it's an appointment with the doctor or the dentist or any other party, we have an input on when it's going to be. In this case, God has set the time. And so this word means, from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, God framed the heavens in such a way that there is an appointment to be kept. And he is going to be there at that time, in that place, to keep that appointment. And if you decide to keep it at some other time, like Sunday instead of Saturday, he's not going to honor that. It is an appointed time. The word Moed means that there is an appointed time. So that's the first meaning that I wanted to really emphasize to you about the word Moed. It relates to an appointed time. Second, really important fact that this word conveys is the sense in which it is used. This word is only and always used in a religious sense. Vine's expository in particular makes that point. It is only used to convey religious meanings. Problem, of course, you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and many of the other verses throughout the Old Testament, you will not find the words that are chosen for translation to convey that there is a religious meaning. But wherever this word Moed is used, it is about something religious. Strong's exhaustive concordance says Moed, and they list, Strong's lists every word that's used, every Hebrew word that's used in the Bible. It says about Moed, an appointment, a fixed time or season, specifically a festival. Conventionally, an assembly as defined well, I've gotten ahead of myself here a little bit. That is the third meaning. The second meaning, the second important fact about the word is it is only used in a religious sense. So the first is it conveys the fact that there is a fixed appointment between two parties. Now, the parties in this case are God and His church. The second important fact is it's only used in relationship to religious events. Moed is always and only about a religious appointment. Third, the word conveys the meaning that there is to be an assembly. And that's what I was reading from here in Strong's Concordance. Moed, it says from Strong's, conveys the notion of an appointment at a fixed time by implication. This appointment is to be an assembly convened for a specific and definite purpose. So that's the third meaning that we need to keep in mind. First of all, an appointment. Second of all, only for religious occasions. And thirdly, it has to do with an assembly. An assembly of who? An assembly of God's people. And it's really interesting to note that this word first appears in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14 before there was any man. Fourth day of creation, there was no man yet. But God was preparing things for men to ultimately populate the earth. And so, I'd like for you to keep that word in mind. I expect to make use of the information that I've given you here in the sermonette when we get to the sermon. And so, that has to do here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. God ordaining from the beginning certain fixed appointments for religious events. And during those religious events, and before there was a man, he had this already ordained. Never mind saying, as some do, that this is the, you know, the Sabbath and the holy days are for the Jews, and they were done away with when the New Testament came. Because this is 3,000 years before there was a Jew. And so, those are the three meanings. I would add to the message this, if anyone is interested. I told you there are 240 occurrences of the word in 210 scriptures. Some long time back, I created a file in which I printed out every one of the scriptures where this word occurs. An exhaustive printout of that word. If anybody is interested in having that, then you can contact me and I will provide it to you.